Farmer, poet, environmental activist, and writer Wendell Berry made a decision in his career to move back to the land of his youth in northern Kentucky near the Ohio River to reclaim and restore it. The land had been exhausted by ill use, and he and his wife Tanya slowly and steadily worked to heal that damaged land. Berry writes, "The earth is what we have in common. That is what we are made of and what we live from. And we therefore cannot damage it without damaging those with whom we share it. But I believe it goes further than that. There is an uncanny resemblance between our behavior toward each other and our behavior toward the earth." The Old Testament is full of references to the goodness of God's creation and how we are called to be stewards of that creation. To be good stewards, we are called to be in right relationship with the land, which means we honor the ground, the trees, the plants, the rivers, the seas, the animals, and all other human beings. Psalm 104, which is the first passage that you will hear read by Ginger, is a song of praise of God's creation, of all that God has created out of wisdom and goodness. Every plant, every creature, every season, every aspect of creation has a purpose. And then our second scripture reading is one that reminds us of the true essence of life. A lawyer asked Jesus, how can he inherit eternal life? Jesus reminds his hearers of the great commandment. You shall love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus then tells the familiar story of the Good Samaritan. The reactions of the priest and of the Levite and of the Samaritan reveal truth about humanity and about how you and I treat one another and treat creation. Hear now these sacred words.
This selection from the 104th Psalm really does underscore the beauty of the earth and the balance of the earth. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills, giving drink to every wild animal. The wild asses quench their thirst. By the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the cattle and the plants for people to use, to bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the human heart, oil to make the face shine, and bread to strengthen the human heart. In the trees, the birds build their nests. The stork has its home in the fir trees. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. And the message is from Luke chapter 10. Just then, a religious scholar stood up with a question to test Jesus. Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life? He answered, what is written in God's law? How do you interpret it? He said that you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. Good answer, said Jesus. Do it, and you'll live. Looking for a loophole, he asked, and just how would you define neighbor? Jesus answered by telling a story. There was once a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way, he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes, beat him up, and went off, leaving him half dead. Luckily, a priest was on his way down the same road. But when he saw him, he angled across to the other side. Then a Levite, religious man, showed up. He also avoided the injured man. A Samaritan traveling the road came on him and When he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. He gave him first aid, disinfecting and bandaging his wounds. Then he lifted him onto his donkey, led him to an inn, and made him comfortable. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take good care of him. If it costs any more, put it on my bill. I'll pay you on my way back." What do you think? Which of the 3 became a neighbor to the man attacked by robbers? "The one who treated him kindly," the religion scholar responded. Jesus said, "Go and do the same." May God bless our understanding of these readings. Thanks be to God.
In the book of Genesis, we are told that we are created in the likeness of God, and that God created the heavens and the earth and all of us. Think about that. That's pretty powerful, that we are created in the likeness of God, and God created the heavens and the earth and everything upon it. Some of you know this from past sermons, but I was a different kind of child. I was always thinking about those who were hungry or homeless or how we should take better care of the earth. I remember, I think I was like 7 or 8, and I had heard that the first President Bush was not going to attend the Earth Day Summit, which was an international affair, and I decided that was wrong. So I wrote to President Bush and expressed my adamant feelings that us as the United States needed to set a good example. I also once Donahue, some of you remember Donahue in a talk show, I must have been homesick one day and my mom let me watch it, and it was all about racism, and I wrote a letter to Donahue complimenting him on taking on such a tough issue. Told you I was a little weird, but it was all because I cared for the world. I was 12 and I invented a game, because when you grow up and you have a sibling who struggles with addiction, you don't want addiction to exist anymore with anyone. So I invented a game and thought I could change the world and stop addiction. I guess I am still an adult who thinks about how we can feed the hungry people and how we can care for the earth. I sometimes think about the earth and I get really sad. Imagine the pain that we have caused our earth. Imagine the oceans crying out for the trash that we have dumped. Imagine the air screaming because of the pollutants we have put in it. Imagine the animals crying because they are going extinct because of what we have done. Imagine that mother and father and baby who are crying and praying that they can have clean water while I stand at my faucet and let it run because it isn't cold enough to drink. So how do we keep from feeling overwhelmed and paralyzed by this? What can we do as just some people in Glastonbury, Connecticut? Well, our faith tells us that we have to do something. We can be like the priest who walks on by, sees someone is hurt on the side of the road, and walks on by, because the purity laws were too much to take at that time. Ignores the hurt man at the side of the street. We can be like the Levite, who's another religious leader, and we can just ignore that hurt person on the side of the road. Or we can be like the Good Samaritan. You see, Samaritans were outcasts, pushed to the margins in biblical times. And yet that's the person who stopped, who took action, and who cared. Mary Oliver, amazing poet. I encourage you to go read some of her poems if you hadn't. When I was ordained 7 years ago, Denny Moon, a former associate here, preached, and he used one of Mary Oliver's poems. I think it was one of the first times I was introduced to her. She has one poem called "The Summer Day." So tell me, what do you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? That's how she ends it. So tell me, what do you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? It's our choice. We can be like the priest, we can be like the Levite, or we can be like the Samaritan. Our faith tells us to be like the Samaritan, to notice and to stop, to take action, and to care. That's why I think I love this story of Marlo and Merritt, because they're two sisters who maybe are a little different, just like I was, and they noticed something. They were actually home. They were 4 and 6 and watching an Oprah special. I don't particularly know why they were watching Oprah, but they were, and it was all about Earth Day. And Marlo and Merritt took notice and said, we have to do something. We kids can change the world, because if we don't, who will? Because if we don't change the world, who will? So they started what's called the Plastic Patrol. You should Google it. It's fascinating. These two little girls, 4 and 6, decided they were going to change the world, one action at a time. So when they go out to restaurants, they bring their own silverware and glasses. Think how much waste we have at restaurants, by the way. When they go to the beach to play, they bring plastic bags so they can collect all the garbage. They love to make crafts, but they make it out of all recycled materials. And they started this website, the Plastic Patrol, because they feel like if they can teach other kids and adults what's happening to our Earth, that they can change the world. Because if they don't, who will? And they explain in these little like webinar things what those circle, you know, the soda can top things that I'm not explaining very well, if they go into the ocean, they kill fish and turtles. And they explain that there's not enough to eat for the creatures in the ocean because there's so much plastic in some places that it's blocking the sunlight, which means there's not enough algae for fish to eat. So that means little fish are eating plastic and big fish are eating little fish, and guess what we're eating? They're explaining this because they think that it's not right and that one kid at a time, they can change the world, because if they don't, who will? So I ask you, friends, tell me, what is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? We're only here for a short time. We can be that priest, we can be that Levite, or we can be that good Samaritan. But what keeps us from feeling paralyzed, from feeling stuck? Like, what are we to do? One congregation, one person. Because we can make a difference. So you look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? But he healed the people in front of him. Jesus healed the lepers and the blind people in front of him. Jesus fed the people in front of him. Granted, 2,000-3,000, that's pretty amazing. But the people in front of him, not everybody in the region. The Good Samaritan took care of the person in front of him. So maybe that's what our faith calls us to do, to realize that we can make a difference. We have to make a difference, because if we don't do it, who will? And we do it right in front of us. So we buy energy-efficient light bulbs. So we eat a little less meat. We buy local. We get those new windows that are kind of expensive and will be a little more expensive if we get the energy-efficient ones, but we should do it. The little things add up. So I did a little history lesson. Back in the 50s and 60s, some of you might remember this, I was not there, but I hear that our highways were used sometimes as trash bins, that people would just chuck trash out of the window. I see a lot of nodding heads. At 8 o'clock, I saw a lot of nodding heads too. Can you imagine driving down the highway and just seeing people chucking things out of their car windows? Well, it was a reality. So in comes Lyndon Johnson and Lady Bird. Into a time in our country's history, people were devastated. JFK was assassinated. Jackie Kennedy was no longer in the White House. It was a time of turmoil and sadness. And Lady Bird knew that she couldn't be Jackie, But she knew she could make a difference and bring more beauty into the world. And she has this amazing quote about that was her life mission, to bring beauty into the world. So in 1965, the Highway Beautification Act was passed to plant wildflowers along highways, to make it illegal to throw trash out of windows. I know we still see trash along the roads. I know we have work crews that go out and collect it. But it's a lot less because we all changed a little bit. Because we all realized that what we were doing was killing our earth. One person can make a difference. One person will make a difference, because if we don't do it, who will? Let's take our lesson from Marlo and Merritt, those two little girls who are now 11 and 13 and still on the plastic patrol. Let's take our lesson from the Good Samaritan, who noticed and stopped and acted and cared. So friends, I ask you, tell me, what is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?